With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the show, you guys. This is Eric Nam, and this is an episode of I Think You're Dope. And today we have two great friends.
Dope.
That's a huge compliment.
Yo.
No one's ever called me dope.
I feel
before.
Cool. I think you're dope.
That's why you're on the show.
I feel like English people just by default cannot be dope.
What? Why?
You know? We don't
English
get away
people
with
are
dope.
So dope.
Really? Prince William? Is he dope? He's not dope.
Yeah. Eddie Redmayne? I don't think anyone has ever described that man as dope.
He's many things, but he's not dope.
He's cool.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. I can handle.
He's cool. I think you guys are dope. So
fantastic.
Before we get into why you guys are dope, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you guys. Mm-hmm. So today, we have my friends Josh and Ollie of Korean Englishmen.
Wow.
They're Englishmen, but they do a lot of stuff in Korea. And so they have a channel called Korean Englishmen. In Korean, it's called Yeonguk Namja. And so, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. I'm excited to have you guys here.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. This is our first podcast.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That is true, huh?
We've talked a lot about doing one ourselves.
You should.
But, you know, I don't know. We talk about a lot of things.
You never get around to it.
If you were to do a podcast, what would it be?
We'd probably call it like, I think you're dope or something like that. I don't know what we do. We were thinking about doing some kind of a commentary podcast because the most recent series that we did on our YouTube channel just had so much went into making it happen. We did it on a Korean military base with a British Army soldier. And we had to get military approval.
It was just
from
a lot.
Both militaries.
It was a lot.
Oh, wow. So we were like, it'd be kind of interesting to talk about it. But then it just sounds really self-indulgent.
It does. So,
well, we have some great ideas for you. We'll talk to you about it after the show.
Brilliant.
Because we're all about podcasting here.
Okay.
Fantastic. So, a jolly cast.
But the jolly cast. It can be really cool.
We've already got a name.
It's
we don't
perfect.
Take 7 episodes. Come on. It's just that.
I'm sorry. I'm very indecisive. We went through like 15 names. And then they're like, you need to come up with that. And they're like, I think you're dope. I was like, all right, I'll take it.
All right.
We'll go with it. So we always like to start off with a bunch of facts that our producer and writers like to throw on our wonderful fact sheets.
Okay.
So full name, Josh Carrot. Do you have a middle name?
I do. My first name is actually Joshua.
Joshua. Oh, wait. I do
my
know this.
My second name. My middle name. You know my middle name.
I feel like you told me.
Maybe. It begins with a D, but it's not a common D name.
Please do share.
It's Daryl.
Oh, Daryl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's normal.
In America.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Is it normal in America?
It's more normal in America.
The only person I know called Daryl is, other than the guy from The Office, he's Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that guy, is my dad. So in England, it's quite common, I think, to get either your dad's name or like your uncle's name.
Okay. Well, Joshua Daryl Carrot.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. You were born in England. Obviously, I think.
I was. In Brighton,
In Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were 12, you moved to China.
I did, yeah. You guys have done your research.
We did our research.
It's good.
I'm sure it's a great Wikipedia page that has everything.
Yeah.
So you were in China, and that's when you were introduced to Korean culture.
Indeed, yeah.
Through your classmates and friends.
Yeah, the school I went to was like 90% Korean students.
Oh, really?
Mm.
That's cool. So
threw me in the deep end.
There you go. Yeah. And then you ended up studying Korean, right?
I did, yeah. University.
That's not a normal, like, that's not a… I mean, I guess it's more common nowadays.
Yeah, now. Back then.
But not when you were doing it, but you were just, I'm going to do Korean.
Yeah, what was weird is I was in Qingdao, which is like 1 hour plane ride from Korea.
Right.
And then I flew back to London to study Korean.
Right. You could have just come here.
I could have done.
But you did, yeah.
That would have been way too easy.
Too easy.
So I went all the way to London and studied Korean there at like probably the only school. Like maybe there was two universities in like Europe or something that did a Korean degree.
Right.
And so I did that. There was, I think, seven people in my class. Maybe like nine, including people who were doing double majors.
Okay.
And that was our whole year of Korean majors.
That's great. And
it was surreal.
And it's clearly paid off. Yeah. You're doing very well.
It's worked out.
Okay. And then you and Ollie met at uni.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were saying this just before we recorded this. We went to this college called SOAS.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the smallest colleges in the University of London. There's like, what, when we went, maybe 700 undergraduates.
Just that's tiny.
And just over 1,000 postgrads. And we were undergrads. And we met on the first day. Love at first sight.
Okay.
In my memory, I just remember Josh bouncing towards me in slow motion.
Really? Okay.
And, you know, the rest is history.
That's I love that perspective. Now let's see how true it was. Josh, what was your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, so I was with, you know how anyone who's been to university, or I guess anyone moved to a new place for the first time, and no one knows anyone. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of just clueless, you know, all being a bit awkward. And some random guy comes up to me out of the blue, quite confidently. Hi, my name's Ollie. I don't have any friends. Do you want to be my friend? And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Very forward.
This is Ollie, yeah. Yeah. Hi. And I went to shake his hand, and he was like, ooh, sorry, got sweaty hands.
Yeah.
Very sweaty hands. You probably shouldn't do the handshake.
I would say I'm
that's my memory.
I'm most awkward on first meeting. And then it's just all downhill. Yeah. Well, all uphill, downhill. I don't know. I mean, I'm awkward because I haven't met Eric many times.
But Ollie embraces the awkwardness and goes full awkward.
I was like, you know, let's just get out of the way. I don't really sweat anywhere.
Just your hands?
Just my hands.
True.
I don't have to wear deodorant. I just don't really sweat. I think it's because I was born like tragically without a metabolism. So I can, I have a hamburger and I'm like, a week of eating hamburgers, I'll be fat.
Like a visible hamburger shape.
Just on your
portion of fat appears on his belly.
I work out so much just to
sweat through your hands.
Just to be basically like healthy. If Josh worked out as much as me, he would be Mr. Olympia. Basically.
He would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah,
and but when I'm nervous, I sweat through my hands, which isn't ideal if you're shaking people's hands.
Right. That's probably, they're probably going to wipe it off.
Exactly. Yeah. And I thought, I've just met this guy, Josh. He's just agreed to be my friend.
Right. I wanted to go home and be like,
but now he's asked to shake my hand. I'm like, the best thing to do is back out and just tell him the truth. You know, you don't want to shake my hand.
You know what? Honesty is a great policy. And I think, you know, that's probably why you guys are still friends.
It paid off, you know. Look, 10 years later.
Yeah.
Best friends.
Best of
more
friends.
More than 10 years. 12 years now.
12 years.
12 years.
Yeah.
Man.
Yikes.
So you guys have known each other for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So so you went through university. You guys were good friends in uni.
Uh-huh.
And for those who are listening who are not familiar with them and their YouTube channel, you guys have what, over 3 million subscribers now?
Yeah. Is it over 3 million?
Coming up on 3.5 on our main channel.
That's crazy.
1.5 on our second channel.
So that's 5 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
It's a ridiculous.
I don't think there is some overlap between the two channels.
But they're
quite distinct as well.
Yeah. Right.
But so yeah.
5 million subscribers. How did you get started? How did this happen?
Wow. Good question.
I mean, it does go back to university, right?
Yeah. Ollie, for some reason, always liked to make videos. And not really, I would say, because we had any specific purpose or aim.
No.
Other than just documenting ridiculous
happenings.
I like so before I met Josh
yeah.
as SOAS, I was at art college. Uh-huh. I went to Central St. Martin's in London, and I just didn't enjoy it. Uh-huh. I haven't got anything against art education, but it just wasn't for me. And I was like, I want to get a more formal mm-hmm. academic education. But then, and so I decided to go to SOAS, where I met Josh. But then there's like this creative void in my life mm-hmm. where I was doing art every day for, you know, over 5 years. And suddenly, like, I'm writing essays and reading.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to do something creative. And Josh was really into making videos as well. Yeah. And so we just started making videos. So
the creativity kind of took its form in basically thinking about what insane pranks we could pull on our friends / housemates.
Right.
And funny ways to film it and then turn it those into videos.
Yeah.
Also, some videos we just made, and I don't really remember why.
Yeah.
But clearly the idea got into our head that this would be hilarious.
Right.
We did a video that's like a contest between Josh and me up the stairs. It's like kind of an MMA fight.
Don't try
climbing up the
it.
Stairs in search of like a taxidermy mink.
What?
And goodness. In the... It defies categorization.
Josh just got there. So red.
Yeah.
I just choked a little bit on my drink. Not gonna lie.
We did, yeah. But we it was quite fun because in search of the next video, we were like, oh, what can we do? Which can be like the craziest thing ever.
Ollie got into his head that making a potato launcher from a bunch of plastic piping that you would spray deodorant into and then get a lighter and light the deodorant as the fuel that would explode out and shoot a potato or whatever we were using as ammunition.
We had one of the guys in our group is like a quite popular guy.
Yeah.
And in our like circle of friends. And so we decided to have a party themed around him, but tell everyone except him. And so we had this party. There were like 100 people came dressed as him.
Wow.
We had like
that's great.
Photos of him printed up everywhere.
This means like 1/6 of your entire school showed up.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew everyone, right? We knew everyone in our graduating class because there were only 200 of us.
Yeah. So you guys were making great videos.
Well,
in college.
We were making videos.
Yeah. I don't know whether they were
great.
We thought
they were great.
Can we take like a time machine back and have this uploaded onto your YouTube as like a vintage collection?
I mean, maybe.
I would love to see some of those. Wow. I don't know. One day. I'm just throwing it out there into the universe.
Yeah.
People might appreciate
it's possible.
It.
It is possible.
You know, it's like the inception of Jolly.
Well, the first video that actually kind of, it didn't go viral or anything, but like it got shared around on Facebook.
A bunch,
back when people use Facebook.
Right.
And then was when Josh came to study in Korea.
Yes.
And you were like missing all of us.
Yeah,
me
yeah.
in particular. He was really missing
before
me.
Before I kind of got to know anyone. Okay. Well, I didn't know that many people out here. I was like struggling to learn Korean.
Yeah.
And it was right before Christmas and I'd spoken to Josh. I knew he wasn't feeling great. So do you remember that the song by The Killers, Are We Human?
Yeah.
Human?
Good song.
And
great song.
Yeah, it was a big song. Answers.
Yeah, you know.
I like just made this sign that said, I miss you, Josh.
Uh-huh.
And then I got all of our friends to hold it and dance to that song.
Oh. Like,
it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
And we got them one by one to dance. But then the twist was that like throughout, like as the video progressed, there were a couple of people that Josh, that we had met since Josh left. So Josh wouldn't really know. But then as the video progressed, then like I started going up to people on the street and I said, would you be willing to hold this sign and just dance for me? And I played the
more
thing.
More and more right? random, the people.
And then, and then by the end, it's literally like there was a cab driver in
guy
it.
And his cab
who was
literally
just in
just
there.
Looked.
He wasn't dancing. He was just holding the sign,
so
like
confused.
Staring into the camera, just like with a gaunt look on his face.
Some poor old lady on the bus.
And there was a lady. I mean, I got everyone's permission. But it became this like completely absurd thing where all these like random people on the streets of London are like looking really seriously into the camera, holding the sign, I miss you, Josh. And that was Josh's Christmas present for that year.
Oh, that's so nice.
That got shared around on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah. And I got like messages from all over the world from people I didn't know being like, this is like the sweetest thing. I think most people assume that he knew all of the people in the video. But obviously...
No idea.
Yeah.
Probably thought they were like my extended family.
Yeah.
No clue. Nah,
just some random person you met on the street.
But yeah, that was like before there were view counts on Facebook videos.
Right.
So I don't know how many people saw it, but I got... I don't know, a couple of hundred messages from like people I didn't know.
Random.
And then you're like, we should make this a thing. Is that?
A few years later. Okay. We finished uni, we started different jobs.
What did you guys do?
I was working in sales in a language school.
In a what?
A language school.
Wow.
So I would like-
In Korea?
Promote our language school in England. I would go around, I was working in East Asia. So I'd travel to China, back home, travel a bit to Korea, Japan, Thailand, all over the place. And be like, this is why you should come to this language school.
Okay.
And Ollie was working in a charity.
Yeah, I was working. I got really lucky because we graduated in 2009. Mm-hmm. So it was right after the financial crisis. Right.
Tough times.
And it was just impossible to get a job.
Right.
And a lot of our friends really struggled and had to do interning. And it was just a tough time to get a job.
Right.
But I somehow managed to get this job. This new homelessness shelter was being set up in East London. It was like a collaboration between seven churches.
Wow.
And each church would volunteer their building and a group of volunteers, like a team of five people, for one night a week.
Oh, okay.
And then each night, the shelter would move to... So Monday night would be St. Paul's. Tuesday night would be Christchurch. And in London, they're all like, there's churches everywhere, right?
Right.
The problem isn't space. So they needed someone to essentially run that.
So you were doing that.
And I did that like straight out of university, no experience.
Wow. Okay.
Suddenly I'm like basically having a sleepover with 15 homeless guys every night.
Well. You're managing. It's slightly more admin than that. But yeah.
And, so I got really lucky, to be honest, because that was a job. It didn't pay much. It paid, I don't know, it paid probably $16,000 a year. So like in London.
It's a non-profit job.
That's really hard. It's really hard to live off that.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. And I got to spend time with people, you know, homeless people, which was a real privilege. You know, people who had just been dealt a really bad hand in life. And also got to work with the community in East London. Mm-hmm. Like literally we had 300-400 volunteers who went on rotation, and we provided it still does provide to this day the largest provision of free accommodation for the homeless in East London. So yeah, I was doing that and you were in a language school, but 5 years in or 4.5 years in,
it was like 2 years for me. You must have quit. You graduated a year before me.
A year.
Because I did a language
It felt like
course.
5 years.
Yeah. Felt like forever.
It was a long time.
We were just a bit jaded. We were both broke.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were still good friends. And we were like, oh, man.
We kind of wanted to do some work together.
Yeah.
Something a bit more creative.
Okay.
And we looked back to our uni days and we're like, man, those were the days, dude. Just going around. Making videos, not going to classes, doing what we wanted and just for fun. And so we just thought about how we could make videos more, how we could work and do something different, something creative. And Ollie's producing ability, making videos, and my Korean language just kind of ended up putting together. And
the perfect...
Yeongguk-nam just started.
Yeah. Man, what was your first video?
Oh, gosh.
I kind of don't want to tell.
No,
because then people will look it up and they'll watch it.
Oh, it was so bad.
If we tell Eric, we'll just have to make it private.
Yeah. So we actually, planned it out. We were like, if we're going to, we watched so much YouTube in uni.
Mm. Right.
So much YouTube. I mean, it was ridiculous. That was kind of all we did other than trying to make videos. But we planned it out and we were like, you know what? We should have a video where we explain what the channel is going to be about.
Uh-huh.
So that people know when they come to this channel,
this is
what's happening. But then no one's going to see that, so we should make another video that we upload simultaneously that, like, could go viral.
Okay.
And so, you know what? No, I don't think anyone's done this before, so let's go out on the streets of London and feed people some Korean food, like kimchi. That's going to be so foreign to them. They're not going to have any idea what this is.
Yeah.
Let's ask them what they think about Korea and just see what, like, the average random person in London thinks about Korea. So we went out.
Terrible idea.
Did that. I mean, it was terrifying. Literally, random people do not want you to go up to them and ask them stuff with a camera, apparently.
Yeah, they really
do. That's what we discovered.
Yeah.
Like, people cussing us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
There were a lot of bloopers from that.
Yeah,
a lot of anger.
It was tough.
A lot of anger. And but we
tough times, dude.
We pushed through.
We did.
Yeah.
I remember.
It worked out in the end.
Can we swear?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
So I remember literally the first guy who we go up to, he just goes, I'm not going to swear. I don't
know. I was like, dude, you go for it.
He,
you
just go
like,
for it.
He just like, like that, like in Josh's
face.
Literally in Josh's face.
Oh man.
We were like, we're filming a video for YouTube. And he just goes, off YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just gonna leave and then
the self doubt creeps in at that moment.
Yeah.
You're like, is my life a mistake?
Remember, we literally had zero, well, maybe one subscriber at that point.
We didn't even have a channel at that point, did we?
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know.
But, so yeah, we were out in Camden and we filmed this episode and then we managed to speak to like a couple of people who were nice to us.
Yeah.
And then we decided to go down by Camden Canal. People who know London will know Camden is on like Regent Canal. And there was this guy parked to the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And he
parked
was
in a canal boat.
In a canal boat.
In a canal boat.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, I should have clarified that.
It was his house.
Wow.
And also a boat.
Okay.
And he was this crazy.
It sounds very luxurious, actually.
It was not luxurious. Yeah. It's like, think of,
it's
do you
like
have caravans?
Than a meter width.
Caravan, like.
Like a
mobile
trailer.
Home?
Yeah. Trailer home.
An RV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an RV, but like a quarter of the size and
on
the water.
And very, very thin.
But he had a beautiful boat and it was covered in flowers.
Yes.
And he also had a high-pitched German voice, German accent.
So excited to see where this
and,
is going.
And we were like, hey man, you know, would you like to try some Korean food? And he's like, oh yeah, I'd love to. That would be so lovely. And then we were like, what? Okay.
That just sounded like the gingerbread man from Shrek.
No, seriously.
So that was great.
And then you know,
please do more.
He's trying it. And he's trying it. And as he's trying it, we're like, oh, could we get a tour of your boat? And he's like, oh yeah, come on board. And we ended up just having this amazing.
We start to walk on, and we're like, "Oh, there's a bell there. What's that bell do?"
Oh, it's the sex bell. You just ring the bell. You have sex.
You're like, okay. He's like, "Yeah, don't ring it." Okay.
And we were like, "Oh, this is magic. This is so much fun."
We caught it all on camera.
That's
great. Kind of
wild. So, is that up on YouTube as well?
That was our first ever upload, and that somehow blew up, my friend. In Korea. I mean, we uploaded it. No one watched it.
Mm.
My friend shared it on like a Korean Reddit.
Right.
Onureyuma.
Right. And that was huge
back then.
Yeah.
And then it blew up. And we had like 30,000 subscribers at the end of that day. First upload.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We at that time we had, I think, email notifications on every time we got a comment.
Yeah.
Or like a subscriber. And so then our email was like,
you have 50,000 new subscribers.
Wow.
We did not, from nothing. And so we did not sleep that night. Yeah. It was just like, what is happening?
Wow.
And we talked about like potential of going viral or whatever, like dreamt about this happening for a long time. And then it just flipping happened on the first video.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So
what overwhelming.
Are the chances? So, yeah. So this happens. When was it when you guys were, I mean, I feel like you lived here for a while. Like,
so I lived here for 1 year. That's the only time I've ever lived here.
Okay.
When
was that?
That was in 2008 to 2009.
Okay. So
back in the day.
So that's like before all this YouTube stuff.
Oh, yeah. A long time ago.
So you've just been traveling back and forth, both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how often are you guys in Korea?
So since we started the channel, it's just been getting more and more frequent.
We can't really come more frequently than we currently
do.
We have a rule that we don't come for more than 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because
why is that?
Well, we're both married, and I have a 2-year-old little girl, and
our families are very much based in the UK.
Right.
Yeah.
Communities in the UK.
We used to come for longer periods of time, but we found that it was just really negatively affecting our family life.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's just not worth that. It's like nothing's worth that.
Right.
And so we the maximum we would ever stay is 2 weeks. And if we have to come for longer than that, we'll bring our families with us. But ideally we'll come for shorter than that. If we can squeeze everything in.
Yeah. And it means that somehow we manage to maintain like a community life in London where we live very boring, very very
we are
normal
not dope in
lives.
The UK.
Yeah, we yeah. As soon as we enter the UK, we lose the dope badge.
Yeah.
We just give it up.
They take it away from you.
What
exactly.
Do people back home think about you guys and like what you're doing? Is it they're like what?
They just find it hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to them it's so like otherworldly. And it's strange because, you know, with our second channel, Jolly, we have a much more international audience. Mm-hmm. So it's made things come a lot more close to home.
Okay.
You know, we'll be walking 5 minutes walk away from our house and people will come up in the street and say hi. And that's like, that's a strange collision of worlds for
right.
us. Yeah. We're used to living a very quiet life in West London. Uh-huh. And then it all kind of being crazy when we're out here in Korea. But yeah, those worlds feel like they're colliding a little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean, we have the best experience of like D-list celebrity-dom in that we get to come to Korea and it's like a lot of people on the street will recognize us, but in a way that they're just like kind of our friends. And then we go back to London and we're by and large, if we avoid like touristy areas, we're like completely anonymous. No one cares.
Yeah.
And then it's like a fun thing to talk
keeps
about
us grounded.
Dinner parties.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So, I mean, I feel like most people, if it, you know, singers or YouTubers or artists or like actors, they all have like one video that really took them to that
it
next
blows up.
Level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys have had a lot of viral videos, but what was the one that you guys can like pinpoint that you think was a really big changing factor?
With that Bokumyeon. Bokumyeon.
Okay.
Yeah. It was that one.
Yeah. So for people who don't know what Purdak Bokumyeon is, it's crazy.
It's Satan's ramyeon.
Pretty much, yeah.
So could you walk us through a little bit of this video?
There's a backstory.
Right.
So our actual like after the first initial viral kind of hit, right? We had a few random videos, and then our second viral hit was we opened a mailbox, and a bunch of people from Korea and kind of all over sent us boxes.
Yeah.
Like, we had like 60 huge boxes to open all at once. We opened them all, we uploaded that onto YouTube, and it hit the Naver homepage.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time back in 2013 I'd ever seen a YouTube video linked on the Naver homepage.
Right. And for people who don't know, Naver is like the it's the portal that runs Korea, the
pretty
internet
much,
here.
Pretty
it's
much,
Korean
yeah.
Google.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was nuts. That was crazy. And it blew up. And the one thing that like most, the thing that was in most of the boxes that we were like, oh, people really want us to try this was Purdak Bokumyeon.
Oh, gosh.
This spicy new noodle. Man. And at the time it was like a Shinjaepun, it was new.
Brand new.
No one had any idea really what this thing was, but I guess a lot of our fans were like, oh, there's this new thing. It's supposed to be super spicy. It'll be funny to see them try it.
Oh.
And so we went out with a bunch of our friends and we're like, hey, let's do this. This is going to be even funnier if we film in front of like London landmarks.
Yeah.
To bring this like collision of cultures,
yeah.
even kind of emphasize it more.
Right.
And we just tried it and each of us tried to finish a pot by ourselves.
We called it the Purdak Bokumyeon Dojeon.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Noodle Challenge.
Fire Noodle Challenge.
And
I've never tried it.
What?
I don't want to.
What?
I don't want to live on a toilet, bro.
Dude.
Like, I don't want to do that.
What? You're not a big spice.
I mean, I can deal with spice, but like the idea of like me being miserable.
Yeah.
It doesn't turn me off, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
fair
dope.
Enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy spicy. So that was a thing, and that became a flipping viral challenge on YouTube.
Yeah, it did.
And you look it up now, you Google like the Fire Noodle Challenge,
everybody
and it's all these videos. You won't even see our video in like the top list.
Yeah. Really?
There's many people all over the world who have like more views than our original ones.
Really? Yeah.
But you guys were the original.
Yeah, I mean, I think our fans like made that happen. We never would have known to do that.
That's amazing.
But they sent it to us, so we made it a challenge and then somehow it became a thing.
We knew it was a real deal when Samyang Foods, the company that manufactured it, like sent us a box, like a massive.
Sent us two boxes.
Two massive boxes of it. Really? And like a book that they'd made.
They
like a commemorative book.
Oh, really?
Like screenshots from our video.
And screenshots of comments and then like letters from employees.
Wow.
And
we
were like, how much money are you making from this, right? Like, and then we heard a couple of years ago from one of the guys who led the chief importers of Korean food into the UK. He was like, when the Fire Noodle Challenge happened, they sold out of Fire Noodle, like Buttapokkeumyeon globally.
Wow.
To this day, you guys should have gotten paid for that. Yo, yeah. I think to this day, he said they sell something like, what was it? Like 15,000 boxes a year or something? Maybe it was a month. I don't even remember.
It was unbelievable.
In the UK.
In the UK?
Yeah.
It was
that's how much they import and they sell out.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon.
Crazy. You guys definitely need like a revenue share on that.
Yeah. Seriously, where are the royalties? Into that office. Yeah. Like, yo, where are the royalties?
Well, they sent us a commemorative book.
Okay.
I mean, that goes for life.
Yeah.
You know?
This is true.
All right.
It doesn't bring happiness.
And so for people who are not familiar with you guys, you have these videos and you have all sorts of different series now. And I guess we started getting closer because we started doing the similar thing of interviewing a lot of celebrities who are coming to Korea.
Yeah.
So I would do like, I do even like yesterday. Wait, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
It was yesterday.
Time flies. I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. So yesterday it was the Terminator Junket and I did like the new Terminator people.
And you guys
took on Arnold and what's her name?
Linda Hamilton. Yeah.
Sarah Connor.
And then I guess like the last time we saw each other was in Hungary for Will Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a couple weeks back. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean…
Wait, can we just say, isn't Will Smith amazing?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, that needs acknowledgement.
Yes, I love that man.
So everyone loves him.
Oh my gosh.
But then I feel like everyone in the world should meet him. You know? Like he's better…
You need to run that by him.
Yeah.
But he's better than his persona.
He's better in real
life.
He's
great. Yeah.
He's better in real life than… And he's pretty good in, like,
on screen.
On screen.
Yeah.
But you… I don't know about you. When he came into the room, he shakes everyone's hand.
Exactly.
He turned up 5 minutes early. Like, who does that?
Who does that? Nobody does that.
Right? And he was just… Honestly, the most charming person I think I ever met.
I wholeheartedly agree. Mm-hmm. I think it was on like one of the previous podcasts. I said my new favorite interview of all time is Will Smith.
Wow, yeah.
Like
by
far.
Fair enough.
Like
we've done
a lot. Like I've done a lot. You guys have done a ton. You guys were recently with David Beckham?
Yeah, that was crazy. My gosh.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
Why? Why was
that? Like a childhood hero. Right.
Literally the first time I cried, the first time I can remember crying is in 1998 when he got sent off in the World Cup.
And you cried.
And I knew we're down to 10 men. There's no chance of coming
back. 11?
11. That's the first time I can remember crying. I mean, I definitely cried before then. I wasn't like a soulless child who was like, oh, the baby's hungry. He's just staring into the abyss.
I
definitely did cry, but the first time I can remember crying was that. And then the second time I can remember crying.
Oh, no.
Was with Joy in 2001 when he scored the equalizer in the 93rd minute.
Oh my gosh.
To take us into the World Cup finals.
Oh my gosh.
David Beckham hype man over here.
I feel like for every English person who is our age, David Beckham is a part of our upbringing.
And he's a part of us.
Football is so big in the UK, right? And when the World Cup is on,
Everything shuts down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
And he was literally our only hope for like 15 years.
Seriously.
And so it was kind of scary to meet him in person.
So what was that experience like when you met him? What did you say to him?
I was literally like a kid.
He was literally
There's a clip at the end.
What a child's like.
We're editing it right now and I want to cut it, but everyone else finds it hilarious.
Yeah.
It's at the end. I'm with a hat. He's signing a hat for me. Yeah. And you can just hear my like fragile, almost like prepubescent voice being like, Thank you, David.
I just kicked the table. So genuinely, though, honestly, I've never heard that level of sincerity from all his voice.
Honestly.
He just goes, thank you, David. Thank you. The depths of his heart.
Seriously.
Poured out in that one line.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did he even respond to that?
No, he did. He's David Beckham, right?
Right.
So, you know,
gentleman. Such a gent.
I mean, he reduces grown men to kind of
prepubescent children.
Yeah, exactly. He seemed like he was totally used to it.
Yeah,
but definitely. He was charming and gracious.
I was just happy he's a foodie. Honestly,
yeah. What'd you guys eat?
Looking at him, he was so skinny. I was like, this guy. Anything we give him, he's probably gonna be like, no, I can't. I've already had my salad for today. We gave him hanu. Like marbled to the next level.
Yeah.
We went to our best Hanu restaurant where the guy hooked us up. It's Yoido Sengogi. Just a little shout out to that guy because he hooked us up with all the meat for free. Super nice dude.
I mean, it's Beckham too.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, yo, I wanna give this guy good food. And the meat was unreal. And Beckham saw all the food and he was like, yes. He's really understated. So he's like super chill.
Okay.
But he was like, oh yes, I love a good barbecue. And I was just like, all right.
Also,
that is, I'm happy. I'm so happy.
I don't know whether we can share this, but we were supposed to have 20 minutes with him. And he just kept extending the interview.
That's
he was like, can you put some more meat on?
Can we get some more of that?
We were with him for 35 minutes.
I haven't tried that cut yet. Can we have that one
as well?
That's
awesome.
So good.
But that's like the most rewarding part of when you're doing an interview and like the act is just like, I'm cool to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So good.
Like that was me and Jamie Foxx. We were supposed to get 5 minutes and I got 30 or something.
Wow.
So I stepped out afterwards and all the other reporters started clapping.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
They don't play the sound, but you could watch the monitors inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I walked out and everybody just started clapping. I was like,
oh, that's amazing.
Yes. Like, I feel so good.
Yeah.
So I completely understand.
You're just running on so much adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's just like a high. Yeah.
Because like for me, Jamie Foxx, I was like, I grew up watching his movies.
Yeah.
He's a singer. He's
basically the world's most talented person.
Insane. So up until Will Smith, he was my favorite interview.
Okay. Right.
Fair play. Fair play.
But,
I don't know where I was going with that. See, I'm really
it's interesting insight. It's crazy that like we've both ended up doing the same thing because we first met YouTube Fan Fest,
which, as I told you earlier today, was an anxiety attack for me.
Well, you hit it well,
a full blown. I was wearing an adult diaper, just like letting little bits of like my bodily fluids go.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like trying not to die,
but that was like totally hidden from us.
Yeah,
thank God
you did not show. You got a good game face.
MC,
I feel like for me it just shows. You know, I'm like
it doesn't show.
Thank
it's just
you,
on
David.
Your palms. Thank you, David. Oh, man. No, we met YouTube Fan Fest probably 2014 or probably 14.
Maybe 15. Around then.
But I was telling them earlier today that it was tough because I did not know what I was saying. I was just reading off cue cards and I would just mess it up constantly.
Yeah.
And this came off the back of Ollie really perfecting Korean today.
Perfecting
and mastering the language.
Finally nailed it.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll see. We'll see.
Ever the encourager.
Yeah. Oh, man. But I mean, like you guys are doing, you know, you're having conversations with the biggest people in the world, right?
How the heck did we get here? Avengers, David Beckham,
Will Smith. Where do you see this going? What do you want to do?
Like, question.
I mean, Jolly Cast, obviously, but like, what else?
Jolly Cast, I think this whole journey of the last 6 years has been so insane.
Mm.
And we've had a lot of ambitions throughout. Like, I would love to be able to take this and use this concept and apply it here. And, you know, we did our first Burdak Bokkeumyeon Dojeon with a bunch of our friends, feeding them Korean food for the first time. And we're like, there are so many good Korean foods we could do with them.
Right.
Let's give them more Korean. And so then we did loads of other Korean foods with them and those went viral.
Right.
And then we were like, we're really good at giving Korean food to people and introducing it. Why don't we do it to people like we don't know?
Right.
What about if a celebrity comes to Korea? And then that kind of started. And then it's just escalated so quickly and kind of gotten out of our control that it feels like we're just trying to stay on top of things.
Yeah.
Just trying to do the best we can at every opportunity that comes. But there's so much that's coming in.
You guys are killing it.
I mean, YouTube is, it's like anything in media, right? The best thing about it is it changes every week. But the worst thing about it is that it changes every week.
Mm.
So it doesn't lend itself to long forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the medium of making videos for YouTube doesn't lend itself to that either. So, for example, we're uploading the David Beckham episode tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. We have to upload it then. It's not finished right now. You know, like we're still working on it.
I mean, it's almost there.
It's almost there.
Yeah.
But then, and we filmed episodes for the next 2 weeks, but after that, we have nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then, so it's... It does feel like you're constantly like chasing the rainbow.
Right.
Yeah.
But then that's the only way you can do it. You can't predict what is going to be popular in six months' time.
Right.
Yeah.
Just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah, and try not to be too hard on yourself either. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've always tried to experiment and push what we're doing and take ourselves out of our comfort zone, and that means inevitably you're gonna fail and you're gonna do things that you're like, oh, I wish we'd done that differently. But that's also the joy of getting to do this
mm-hmm.
job. You know, you get to be creative. As it is easy to lose sight of that, and I think I just try and remember we're so privileged to be in a job where we can be creative and we can push those boundaries, and we're allowed to fail mm-hmm. and you know,
just and then keep going on and trying new things.
Yeah,
and it's incredible. I really like the position we're in right now is something we just never could have expected. That it's quite overwhelming, but also leads us to keep thinking. You know, like you said, what's next?
Yeah.
What else can we do? Recently, our most recent series, we brought twins to Korea. One of them was a major in the UK Army. One of them's a priest. It's a crazy story. Don't even ask me how that happened. But the fact that, like, bringing a major in the army to a different country, you have to get all these permissions from his superiors. And then we thought, you know, he's in the army. It'd be really fun if we went to the Korean army and did some experiences there.
Right.
Then you got to get, like, permissions from both governments.
It's a lot.
But we made it happen somehow. And the fact that we could then do a series on a Korean army base was like, this is nuts.
Mm.
And they loved it. The people we were working with in Korea had a great time, it seemed like.
Mm.
They seemed happy. They want to do something else again.
Yeah.
So the fact that we can do stuff like that is like, okay, well, we just got to, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
We just got to keep thinking of stuff.
I mean, it's exciting. I feel like you guys are always pushing the envelope with new stuff.
Mm.
And I think the general Korean public, like everybody knows you guys by now, I feel. I mean, if you guys are shooting endorsements and commercials, I can't wait for this new one to come out that you're telling me about where you're just awkwardly the third wheel. I'm like really excited. I'm like, I keep thinking about that. I'm like, I can't wait to just see it.
I don't even know if we can talk about that yet.
I literally don't think we can. we did an advert.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a promo for an unnamed brand that rhymes with
Namsung. You do? You're an idiot. You are an idiot.
okay. And it involved me going on holiday with Josh and Gabby.
This is
Gabby's Josh's wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, his second wife. I like to refer to myself as the first wife.
Okay.
Because I knew Josh first.
This is strange.
I was his first love.
This is so strange. needs background context that I can't even give.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
But yeah, that was fun. But there's just so... You must have this as well, right? There's so many things. There's so many things that we do that I just stop myself. I'm like, holy crap.
What just happened?
That's Will Smith sitting right there.
Yeah.
You know? Like yesterday with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I challenged him to a stare-off.
Who won?
Who do you think, Eric?
Yeah, he's literally the Terminator. He's the Terminator.
He's the Terminator.
I mean, he's 72 years old. Yeah. Can we just say he's 72? Does not make him less the Terminator. He is just as much Terminating.
So. He has to be so daunting.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Like,
terrifying.
Just everything about him.
He terminated my self-esteem. everything was terminated.
Masculinity,
But yeah, you do take a moment. You step back and you're like, this is really freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. Yeah. So I guess there is one. Let's see. We have a couple things that we want to do. We have some very quick, not games. Well, there'll be conversation points.
Activities.
All
right. Activities.
Clearly, I'm not very good at this. All right.
I
so
like activities.
You guys have been friends, Josh and Ollie. Jolly, you have been friends for over 10 years now.
Yes, it's true.
You referred to yourself as his first wife.
Mm-hmm. That's very odd. Let's not get into that.
So considering you guys know each other so well.
Yeah.
We're going to have you answer about each other's first.
Fantastic. We're going to test it.
Yeah, we're going to test it. We're going to get into the nitty gritty.
Okay.
If you actually know the answer, that's great. Let us know. If not, come up with your best guess of what you think is the first.
Okay, I like this.
All right?
Yeah.
So, first one. First date.
First date.
What? With our current spouses or
you could,
ever?
You. Let's go ever.
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 Wow.
I have no idea.
I mean, that is a
this
long
is where we get very
ago.
Creative yeah. here.
Okay.
Where
okay,
do you imagine or how do you what do you first think Josh's date. First date was? And then we'll see if it was right.
First date.
Well, I would guess that it would be in China.
Mate. 12 years old, that's late in the game, bro.
Late in the game. Wow.
I was starting young, mate.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay, Caterham.
Oh, wow. Just throwing out my hometown. Yeah. Well,
I mean,
could have been. Depends what you define as
a
date.
It feels
really.
Almost like a violation to speculate.
Yeah. Right, well, I'll go.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, you and Lizzie, your wife, are like childhood sweethearts.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. They met when they were like, what, 16 or something?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with you guys on the first date. I can imagine that happening. And let me think. What would you guys be doing?
I can already sense an insult coming.
What are you talking about? No, okay, you're both quite eccentric personalities. Yeah.
Here comes
and
the
you,
qualifiers.
And even then, you were, I'd say, even more eccentric.
Qualifying.
Yeah. So I'm going to say you went out there. You probably tried to do something romantic, a little bit embarrassing.
Oh, okay.
And she.
I'm just holding on to my self esteem. Can't be worse than saying thank you, David.
But on. But if I know anything about Lizzie, I bet she wasn't fazed at all. One of you definitely would have done something very embarrassing, like farting in public. And the other one probably would have been like, you know what? If that person has the confidence to do that, admitting it, then, you know, I reckon they're a good match.
So you think? So yeah. I just want to take a summary, yeah. Right?
That's what I'm going with.
When I first met Lizzie, I took her on a date. Yeah. I was generally embarrassing in a generalized way.
Yeah.
That probably meant that I farted, but she was okay with it.
Yeah, or she farted and you're okay with it.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to
either
be
way.
Clear. I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah. No, or something like that. That's just, I was giving an example. You know, people at home, they might not be able to imagine what do I mean by something embarrassing.
But now they're imagining me farting.
Now they know.
Right. Yeah. All, like, a really loud tens one. Tens of thousands of people who don't know you.
A really loud one.
Now just imagining you farting.
And you accepting responsibility, you know.
Be
not
like,
ashamed.
Sorry.
Not ashamed.
That was me.
That was me. And Lizzie's
I'll do the
like,
right thing. Take the higher ground.
Yeah. You know, I like a man with integrity.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay.
That sounds like a great first date.
Yeah, there you go.
Ollie, I'm really glad that happened.
Okay, all the Jolly Beans at home, there's people who watch our channel, Jolly, I bet you they'll agree with me.
Okay, I just want to clarify for the record that this didn't happen. We're talking about it now already.
Okay.
Like
well,
it did happen. This is just something that Josh summoned from his imagination.
I mean, at some point, I bet it happened.
I mean,
was it smelly? Was it really bad?
It didn't happen. It did.
Was it like when
I never
was
fart.
It a silent killer?
I do fart occasionally, like all human beings. But but the thing is, I don't really remember my first date with Lizzie. I don't remember my first date.
What?
Ever? Gosh. I don't know. I do remember Lizzie and I like to go to Regent's Park.
Uh huh.
Which is a really beautiful park in London. and take one of those like Korean camping stoves and cook like spam.
What? Are you allowed to do
that? You did this in London?
Fried spam sandwiches.
Isn't that illegal?
Probably. But I like to live on the edge.
When did you do that?
Yeah. Like the law isn't going to get between me and my fried spam sandwiches.
Okay, I thought you were going to say between you and your wife, but you know, the sandwiches are good too.
The fried spam sandwiches. Those will do it.
I just want to shift the focus onto your first date.
Sure, let's do it.
Actually, have I already done yours?
My imaginary one. No,
you said just China.
China.
Yeah, that was
it. That was
Josh
weak.
Was like, no.
That was weak.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next one.
Okay, I feel like I lost that round.
All right, we're going to move on to the next one.
It's a competition, yeah.
First time getting a little too tipsy.
Ooh. This had to... Oh, I know the answer to this. No, actually, yeah, maybe I don't.
I'm sure...
I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
First again. So, in uni, we used to be... Okay, I mean, we were uni students. We have both had our student loans. We are living on a budget. Tight budget, right? So we don't have a lot of money. Go to get a pub and get a pint in London. That's expensive. Mm. On the other hand,
who does that?
Yeah, not uni students. On the other hand, going to Tesco or one of the cheap supermarkets there, you can get a bottle of Basics alcohol.
What's Basics?
So Basics is like the cheapest possible line. So big supermarkets.
So it's like rubbing alcohol.
They do like
blind.
Cheap lines.
It's like own brand.
Oh, yeah, so it's like no name brand kind of thing.
Right. Okay, exactly. Cool. But like the no name brand, they have like the standard product, the luxury no name brand product, and the cheap no name brand product. So like Sainsbury's Basics or Tesco Value is the cheap stuff. The Tesco Vodka, I think, actually might just be paint cleaner or something
that
terrible.
Just legally, that is not an accusation.
I wash my hands of this. So, but you guys used to get the gin because gin is unlike vodka. It's tricky. You know, it doesn't have that strong of a taste.
Mm-hmm.
You mix it with some tonic water, a bit of lemon, a bit of lime. Mm-hmm. It's easy going,
right?
And man, this is going to make us sound like really weird uni students, but we didn't actually have proper glasses in our house.
Nobody does.
So one time, I think maybe this was when I was in Korea. I remember you guys telling me, there's a thing we used to do when I was there too. We used to make gin and tonics in big, empty Nutella jars. I don't know if you know the big Nutella jars.
Yeah, like the huge
big
ones.
Yeah. You just fill it with ice
and
a G&T with like a Basics gin.
Yeah.
Which that stuff can get you.
And it's hard to keep track of how much you're drinking when
And the ice melts and you're like, oh, that probably all the stuff I just drank was mostly ice.
Yeah.
Top it up with gin.
You should. Yeah. Definitely. You got to.
Dangerous. Very dangerous. Yeah. And I remember hearing some stories. Mm-hmm. Accidental over-drinking.
But I love how Josh just like deflected that. He was like, this is something that we did together, but they probably did it when I wasn't in the country.
I remember hearing the story. And the thing is, I remember a specific story about our other flatmate, not you,
Ben,
he's like the least crazy guy. You know, you got some guys who are like party animals.
Right.
Ben is not a party animal.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if you're listening to this, Ben. We love you. But he's not a party animal. And so I heard this story that they drank so much that like literally he woke up and was just like vomiting everywhere from drinking so much.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? But apparently they're just sitting at home like watching stuff on the projector.
I felt bad.
TV.
I felt bad.
Drinking Basics gin and tonics.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys weren't even like going out?
Getting like blind wasted.
That honestly is one of the worst nights of my university
career.
Yeah,
are
it was. Because we just lost track of how much was in the Nutella jar.
It's easy to do, people. It's easy.
We were watching, I think, like 1922 Dracula, Nosferatu.
We used to like project our Hitchcock films on the projector.
We went to movies. And we just lost track of time and of our alcohol consumption. And it just came back to bite Ben.
And the nicest guy is just puking on the floor.
Yeah,
he was like the sweetest guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
He didn't even have like a good, you know, he didn't even like meet anyone special.
It's just a special club party.
He just got killed.
Yeah, just watching Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And vomiting.
Drinking Nutella. Yeah.
Can't wait to meet Ben, guys. Yeah. You sound like a party animal.
The problem is that's kind of our uni lives. We didn't, you know, instead of partying, we made videos and pranked each other and then stayed in and watched stuff on the projector.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
It was fun.
Good. But now it's time for Josh's first drunk story. Oh, what gosh. Happened, Ollie?
I gosh. Know this much, that it was probably quite late. Because you had a, you had a pretty sheltered
childhood. Yeah.
And adolescence.
Oh, that's a good point. For your first, it was definitely when you were like 15.
Younger, probably.
You, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You weren't sheltered. You grew up in London. Yeah. You had the rough London town. Yeah. Teenage life.
But, I mean, I wasn't a particularly bad kid, but I certainly wasn't as sheltered as you.
Okay, yeah.
So I reckon your first time drinking a little too much was probably at university.
Definitely, yeah.
What happened?
Never got drunk when I was a teenager.
What happened? I mean, it's so goofy when you look back on the things that we did.
Yeah, we just seem like so silly kids. Yeah.
Because we're like 18.
Don't really know.
You've got no idea. You don't know what life is about. No.
You know.
I remember somebody in our hall of residence Reckless. Was like, "Oh, you can put Skittles into vodka."
Oh yeah, we used to do that. Did you hear about that?
Skittles and vodka. You could do gummy bears and vodka.
Yeah. And if you leave them in there and put it in the freezer for like 4 hours, vodka doesn't freeze.
It doesn't.
So it just gets cold, like, and the slushy, just the the Skittles mix in.
But it goes like gray. Tastes and becomes like this like radioactive sugar poison, alcoholic poison.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll mess you up.
And I remember Josh was just really into that idea.
I loved that
one. You got a sweet tooth.
I do. Do you remember we made Blavod shots?
What? Yeah. Lava shot?
It was like this niche vodka that had black dye in it.
It was like, it was just like, we were like, oh, we're cool, we're drinking vodka, but it's black.
Yeah.
It's like colored vodka. Kids. And we'd mix it with like fruit juice.
There's a lot of embarrassing stories.
I have so many that I can never speak of.
Okay, but you just ask people on your podcast their stories.
Okay.
I'll tell you one from college that is not me, but like I lived in a house with 20 people. It was 9 girls, 11 guys, and 1 house.
Those are good times. Those are good times.
Wow.
It was a radioactive house.
So like a fraternity or something?
Yeah. It was like a leadership house.
Did it have a weird Greek name?
No. It was
like Omega Champions or something?
We weren't about that.
Okay.
But we have this one friend who's a huge movie like buff and like literature, everything like hilarious guy. He loved pulling pranks on people in the house.
Classic. Okay.
So one day he decides to put, you know, Bengay? Bengay is like the Icy Hot.
He decides to
put Icy Hot
On the toilet seat.
On the toilet seat.
Yeah. We've been there.
Yeah, we've definitely been there.
The girl's bathroom.
See, that's, we haven't been there. That's a line. That's
a line.
That's a gentleman's line.
Yeah.
And he crossed the gentleman line.
And this is where it gets really bad.
All over it.
So this girl was visiting the house for like a study session of one of the girls, like a friend. And she went to the bathroom.
She didn't even live there.
She didn't even live
Poor
there.
Lady.
She wasn't even a member. But she was just visiting. Yeah. And she went to the bathroom and then she was just like, I feel crazy. Like,
oh, no.
I'm really cold and now it's really hot and it's really painful. I don't know what's going on. She went to the infirmary, and I think she went to the ER because she was like having a full on like what's going on.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
And then it just blew up the entire house. Like it was like fight on fight, like people freaking out. This poor girl had no idea what she stepped into.
Not even involved. Yeah.
And it turns out she transferred the next year.
No, she's just like, I'm out. Know.
I don't want to think because of that issue, but it was just when we thought back on it, we're like, you really messed up that girl's
life.
It
definitely contributed.
You definitely contributed. Yeah. You made a girl transfer, switch schools.
Oh, gosh.
Because you put Icy Hot on her toilet seat.
Yeah.
That's just the tip of the iceberg for us.
We probably shouldn't talk about our experiences with Icy Hot.
Let's not.
But it was it was traumatic.
Why do so many pranks involve Icy Hot?
I don't know. It's really scary stuff if you think about it.
It is.
Yeah.
But all right, last first impression. We talked about when you guys first met each other, but first impression of each other.
Ooh. Interesting.
I don't know.
Let's be very honest here. I feel like there's a lot that you're trying to process.
There was a lot.
I'm gonna start this one.
Yeah, go for it.
I think my first impression of Josh was that he is not like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like he, I can be his friend.
You could be his first wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Okay.
But we like, and I think that's something that has stayed true. The first wife thing, but also the difference thing has stayed true throughout our whole friendship. Mm-hmm. I, one of the things we talk about is that we are not competing for the same role in our content.
Right.
And,
or in life.
Or in life in general. Like we're different people and we're okay with that. We have different strengths. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that a lot of Josh's strengths, I'm really weak in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my strengths, Josh is less strong in.
Definitely, yeah.
And that's just really, it's weird looking back to that first day that I met Josh. Because I remember thinking, of all the people I've met today, I'm meeting like hundreds of people first day at university.
Mm.
This is the guy that I'm like, I think we're going to be good friends.
Mm. Yeah.
And, but he was, of all the people we met, like, one of the least like me as a person, which is interesting.
We studied like opposite things. I mean, I was studying Korean. You were studying
development studies.
Development studies and
religion.
Study of religions.
Yeah.
It was like, polar opposite.
Polar opposites, yeah.
Like interests were pretty opposite. I mean, we liked, the thing that brought us together was kind of entertainment. Like films, music, YouTube.
Right.
We watched so much YouTube together. And then the rest of our interests, like, we were pretty different. We would read really different stuff. We're into a lot of different stuff.
Even today, like, you generally don't recommend me, like, books.
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah. No, you know, Ollie reads super depressing books.
I read really depressing books.
Oh, my
books.
Gosh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Can't even
like,
handle.
On what?
He loves, like, deep, factual books about tragic historical events or tragic current events.
I read one recently that really bummed me out.
It always bums you out. You keep reading them.
What was it about?
He just like feeds off.
I think
of
it was about like
negative
all
energy.
Of the political upheaval that led from like 1970, like early 1970s until 9/11. Like everything that led up to that.
Ollie's like the
and
most.
I finished it. I had to honestly. I had to like sit on my bed at home and just be like, just like have a moment. It was so depressing.
Okay. Ollie's like the most silly YouTube character ever.
Yeah.
But in real life, he's like incredibly academic and deep. And then kind of deeps himself out a little bit too much. Exactly. And so I feel like you revive yourself with just having fun, silly fun.
Yeah.
It's how you escape from your serious.
Thank you, David.
Academic side. Anyway. Yeah, it's interesting. I think I definitely got the perception that we shared some things in common, which were really odd, like unexpected, and then other things that we weren't really similar, but that wouldn't affect like just the ability to have fun together, which was cool. I didn't really, you know, at the time we didn't really know anyone, we didn't really have close friends, and that's something that's great about university is everyone is trying to figure out who they are,
right?
If you are listening and you haven't been to university yet and you're nervous, don't worry, everything's gonna be fine. Everyone going to university is super nervous. No one has any idea what they're doing with their life.
Yeah.
Everyone's figuring it out. And what's so cool about it is it's a bunch of people together figuring it out together. And hopefully you'll run into someone that's also figuring it out in a similar way that you are. You can share a couple things. You can have some fun together. And that's what me and Ollie did. And we just had fun and connected over the things we did share. And it's kind of led to this. And I think what's great is that the ways that we are different have benefited each other so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that he's interested in that I am not, like I get enriched just through hearing about it from him, through learning about it from
him. Right, right,
growing in that.
All these depressing
he's way more, depressing stuff, but really also like he's much more interested in politics and economics than I am. And even I would say like in environmental issues and all this stuff. And I kind of am able to learn from that side of Ollie. I had more of an interest in specifically in Korea and this part of the world and a real passion for this. And both of us are kind of open to those ideas, but we had a different experiences and different knowledge. And so then Ollie, you know, has now become like much more knowledge about Korea and all this
stuff.
And
he's fluent in Korean now.
Exactly. Yeah. Who could have guessed?
I heard you had like tattooed the alphabet
on
your arm.
Not true.
Not true?
None of what has just been said is true.
Okay.
I am not fluent.
We did a video with Eric and earlier, and You're more fluent than you were before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're quite a good teacher, Eric.
Well, thank you. I mean, you have the best teacher right next to you. I'm just like a good substitute for like, you know, a few minutes.
I don't know.
It was good.
If you guys are listening, we did do a... We did some missions with Ollie in Korean earlier today. Mm-hmm. So check it out on the YouTube. It's about time to just start wrapping it up. First of all, thank you so much for making time. I know you guys are busy doing things all over the world constantly.
Strange to just come here and talk about ourselves. We need to actually talk about something meaningful now.
Yeah.
And that was just like,
well, chat. So I actually had an idea. I don't know if you guys would be open to talking about it.
Hit us, please.
But I just kept thinking about this story you shared with me.
Oh, gosh.
In Hungary.
Okay.
About your wedding.
Okay, what's
and the how story? Josh was a great best man.
Oh, no.
And if it's too much, we don't have to talk about it. We'll just edit it out. But I don't know. It's up to you guys.
It's up to you. I'm all right with it.
Yeah, well, you were all right with it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I wasn't after that, but...
Up to you guys. We could completely go past it.
This is good on the internet. You've got to be careful when you put something on the internet.
All right, let's do it. So...
It's happening. It's happening.
You have to give everybody the proper backstory.
This is the exclusive. Yeah.
This is the exclusive.
Ollie's backstory and my backstory are probably going to be quite different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I got married shortly after graduating from university to my childhood sweetheart, who I am still happily married to.
Yes.
And
lovely lady.
As Josh had mentioned previously in the podcast, throughout our university career.
You farted a lot.
I did not fart a lot, but there was a prank war, an epic prank war.
Right.
Initiated very much by Ollie, just going to explain.
Yeah. What was the first prank?
Disclaimer.
Do you remember?
What was the first prank? I honestly can't remember.
Too many to count.
Okay, all right, just a lot.
Yeah, just a lot, like just constant pranks.
About half of them were Ollie and half of them were the rest of the house combined. Yeah.
but Josh and our friend Kit, they pulled a particularly cruel prank, which I think has left enduring emotional scars, psychological scars on me, which is they took an item of my clothing from my wardrobe, one item a day for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I, like, imperceivable, right? Yeah. And I was like, I just keep losing clothes.
Yeah.
Right? That's true. And they thought that I was going to realize that they were doing it. I guess I don't have much faith in my ability not to lose things. And so I was like, oh man, I swear I used to have more underwear than this. Or, you know, I swear I had, where did that t-shirt go? And by the end, I had worn exactly the same outfit because it was the only clothes I had left, like t-shirt, trousers, underwear, socks, the same outfit for a week.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I would wash these things and wear a towel, like naked. Waiting for it to dry. Put it back on for a week until they're like, we have to tell him, right?
We started in January, like beginning of January. And then it reached like March and we were like, crap. We've been doing it like a couple of items of clothing per week for 3 months. And so we're like, okay, well, April 1st is coming. 4 months, we can't go longer than that.
Right.
The guy's just wearing the same thing every day.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's funny, right?
Yeah.
But then it felt like just such an epic prank. I'd been so outdone.
Right.
Right. I was like, how can I possibly get Josh back?
Right.
Right. Yeah. This is when I think we just need to provide some context that I was 19 years old.
This up. I like that you've built this up. You've shown what we
did
to you.
I didn't know much about the world. Would I do this again? No, I wouldn't.
Probably not.
Am I proud of it? No, I'm not proud of it. I think not long after I did this thing that I'm about to tell you, I was ashamed of it. And I am ashamed of it to this day. I pooed on a plate and put it in Josh's bed.
I'm just glad you used a plate and didn't poo straight on the bed.
Yeah. That's courteous.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also quite a lot of skill involved in pooing onto a plate. It was a small plate. It was like this big.
Yeah, it was like a dessert plate.
And oh, man.
I just want to apologize to all of the listeners as well. I know this. You didn't know that this was going to happen when you started listening to this podcast. But anyway, I did that, and it's not my finest moment. But I can't escape the record.
No.
Anyway, fast forward.
Yes.
2 years. Graduating. I proposed to Lizzie, my girlfriend. Right. We're going to get married. And my mother-in-law knows me, right?
Right.
She knows what I'm like.
She doesn't know the details.
She doesn't know the details.
She just knows you.
She knows.
But she knows the kind of person that I am. Right. And so she, and in the UK, the tradition of the best man is that he gives a speech that embarrasses the groom.
Right.
Right. That's
I don't know if it's the same in the States.
Kind of,
In the UK, a lot of places, there's like a real heavy emphasis on embarrassing.
Okay.
You know,
right.
This is your last chance to like reveal all the dirty secrets the groom gets married.
So my mother-in-law writes to Josh and Kit, that they were joint best men, and says, I know what Ollie's like. I don't want any of the family members to get upset. You must send me your best man speeches before the wedding day. Right? And they tell me this and I'm like, this is censorship. This isn't right.
This is not a democracy.
Yeah, this is
a dictatorship.
This does not set a good precedent for my marriage. Right? So what would be the best solution is that I will write the most incendiary best man speech I can possibly think of, pressing every conceivable button that she has, and send it off from their email account, I suppose as a prank on my mother-in-law, which again, in hindsight, seems like a pretty bold thing to do.
Before the marriage,
before marrying her daughter. But anyway, I write this speech, and it's just like unbelievably offensive, like 100 times worse than...
anything conceivable.
Anything. Like, it's like no one would read this
right
in front of relatives. It's unbelievable. And the climax of the speech was the line... again, I'm writing in Josh's voice. He defecated on a plate and left it in my bed. Right?
Sounds like something I would say.
And this is the man your daughter is marrying.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Josh at the time was in China because he had gone back to be with his family over the summer break.
I didn't even see the email.
He didn't see the email. He's not involved in this. He's not involved in this whole scenario at all. He comes back for the wedding 2 days before. And I think we went out. Probably. We went out.
Probably.
We were busy. And, you know, one thing led to another. Day of the wedding, he hasn't written a best man speech.
That's not what happened. That is not what
Kit says happened.
Yeah, Kit and is...
Why would he lie?
He has
because,
a lot
and it's
for.
Proved by the facts, which are Josh finds lying around our house this beautifully written, but...
I didn't find it.
Very,
Kit had it.
Very offensive best man speech that Ollie had written as a joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't need to write a best man speech. I can just read this verbatim.
Right.
Right?
Sounds like a great idea.
No.
So he stands up and he reads a speech that I have handcrafted to be the most offensive speech to my relatives as a joke. He reads it to all of my relatives. My grandfather leaves early.
We need to give it like a context as well, because Ollie's wedding, that Ollie and his wife are from quite like traditional English backgrounds.
Proper.
So the wedding was a very traditional English affair, which means like 80% of the audience are over like 50, 60 years old.
Yeah.
A lot of old relatives.
Yeah.
A lot of old relatives.
And you
but
literally...
you're distorting the story.
I don't know if this is Kit's
like influence of what he's told you, or I remember the story this way for a while.
Yeah.
But that's not how it went down.
Okay.
How it went down
the record,
is
Mr. Carrot.
Me and Kit planned our speeches from a long time before the wedding. A month before the wedding, before I went to China, we had our speeches like rough planned out.
Okay.
And his role was to be the English, I'm going to embarrass you guy.
Okay.
Whereas me and you, we had like a bit more of a, you know, a brotherly... a bit of a spiritual relationship, mm-hmm. you know? Uh-huh. We went to church together. Uh-huh. You had mentored me personally through a lot of stuff in my life.
I put it on a plate and put it in your bed.
Yeah, I mean, that was supposed to be Kit's job to tell the prank story. I was supposed to tell the emotional, heartwarming story.
So who took the speech that I wrote and so just decided not to change it?
So I gave, I don't know if you remember this, well, you clearly don't, but I gave a speech which was about 90%, it was the speech that I'd written, emotional.
Okay.
It was the story of how you had mentored me.
Okay.
And, you know, how much of a good brother you had been to me through this and how, you know, Lizzie's lucky to be marrying this man. But, like, 5 minutes before we went up to give our best men speech, me and Kit were talking, and Kit was like, have you seen that audience? Everyone has gray hair. Yeah. They're all old. They're all respectful, respectable people.
He's right. He was right.
Ollie, we can't say any of this stuff. He was supposed to give the embarrassing stories.
So he had taken my speech.
No, there was the line, the ending line.
Okay.
About defecating on a plate.
Yeah.
He was supposed to tell that story.
Okay.
But he bailed on it. He completely changed. He only kept the nice bits of his speech that he'd written beforehand. Took out all of the embarrassing stuff.
Can I just point out how Josh is reframing this, and he is the hero in this scenario.
I was doing what you had taught me to do.
Washington Post, like, democracy dies in darkness. Okay.
I grew up in China. I didn't know what a best man speech is supposed to be.
Okay.
So I had no context for it. Being terrified. It's the first time I was a best man. Also the last time I was best man, but it was the first time I was best man, and I didn't know what to do. So I'd talked to you for years before. You told me, oh, you know, if you're ever going to be the best man at a wedding, yeah, you need to tell some embarrassing stories. You told me the stories that you had heard at weddings. Yeah, they were horrifying, genuinely terrifying. Some of the stuff, oh my goodness, stripping the groom naked on his stag do, his bachelor party, like throwing him out on the street, making him run home, new, I don't know, whatever. Anyway.
These are exaggerations.
Oh, really? Really? Okay. Private stories coming to public. You mean, okay. anyway, so you told me this. That was my only understanding of what a best man was supposed to do. So then when Kit bailed, I was like, Ollie is the prank instigator. He's also the first one to get married, so... Right. You know, he's kind of getting off easy, but yeah, we can't just let him get away with all the mischief he's caused in uni. So I took that ending line, specifically the line, and I think I mentioned a couple of other pranks we talked about to build it up. It didn't really matter. The only thing anyone remembered from my entire speech was that I said Ollie had pooped on a plate. Yeah. And I remember saying that line. And the whole room just going completely silent.
In your defense, though, it did happen.
It did.
It did happen. It did. And I did make up with my grandfather eventually.
Thank God.
I do feel terrible now about this because looking back, I'm like, what? How was that necessary? That was not a necessary story to tell to relatives.
Yeah,
relatives.
Exactly. You know.
Exactly.
There's I was ICR. Young. I thought, you know, we didn't talk about the ICR.
See, like, they're worse things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, pooping on a plate, I think, was the worst.
I can't believe you got to tell that story, Eric.
Yeah. So that happened.
I've thought about that story multiple times.
I had that.
When we told you about that in Hungary, I was like, Eric, if I tell you this story, you cannot tell anyone. And we just internet on the podcast.
The internet knows.
Yeah. I'm serious. If you want, retrospectively, we could take it out. But I was like, good.
Yeah, it's in now. I mean, it's been said.
Every time I like your photo or something comes up, I'm like, I can't believe I know the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now a lot more people are going to think that when they see me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Which, but.
Oh my gosh.
He has a deeper side to him and he has a poop on a plate side to him.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know,
it's
people.
The full package.
There are multiple sides to humans.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You have your deep side, your super depressive, serious history side.
Yeah.
You got your religious side. You have the casually defecating on a plate. So yeah, exactly. Everybody has, you know.
I'm a little worried people are going to speculate that I'm a psychopath on the basis of this.
All the signs were there.
Yeah.
No, no way.
I can testify he's not a psychopath.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that happened. I do regret telling that story.
You know what?
How was my best?
Just the responses.
How was that? Yeah. Did you get back at him for that at all?
The thing is, I tactically postponed getting married for about 8 years.
Yeah.
After you did, maybe.
For that reason.
Ollie was like 30 by the time I got married. Not quite. Yeah. Almost. And so he has more of a conscience by that point. He has a more developed moral compass.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he realized it's probably not best to bring up all the old pranks.
All of Josh's relatives love me.
They do.
On the basis of that speech.
Right.
I don't really talk to any of Ollie's relatives. No, I burnt that bridge. Burn it hard.
It's still burning. Yeah, it's still burning.
Yeah.
They haven't managed to put it out yet.
Oh, man. One day.
I genuinely sweat when I hear about that story.
You got visibly red.
I remember the like embarrassment of being like, what have I done?
Was this in a church? No, thankfully it wasn't in a church.
It was like 300 people there.
I don't know, in a field. Many people.
Yeah.
With 300 people.
Through a microphone. Relatives. With like feedback.
Oh my gosh.
In our wedding photo album, you can mark, it's like AD, BC, you know? It's like before the pooping on a plate story and
everyone's
smiling.
Loving it.
And then afterwards, like everyone over the age of 40 is like
furious, just drinking a lot of wine.
Yeah.
Trying to forget.
Thank you for sharing this amazing story.
You're very, very welcome.
Oh my gosh. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap it. That's all you need to know about these guys.
There you go.
No. In all seriousness, thank you so much for joining us on this subpar show.
No.
I still think you guys are dope.
Oh,
that's good.
Thank you for sharing such wonderful stories. Anything you want to say to listeners or where they can find you and more of your amazing content?
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Just on the YouTubes.
Yeah. Korean Englishman, Jolly.
Jolly.
Follow me on Instagram, Ollie Kendall. Okay. You don't have to follow Josh. You've got more followers than me.
Okay. Yeah. Just even it out.
Yeah. Begin to even the balances a little bit. None of the pooping on a plate ends up on Instagram.
Good. It's true.
Probably get banned.
Completely censored.
Yeah.
Or we put a blur on it if it is there.
It's just not there.
It's just not there.
Okay. Yeah. Just saying. For future.
In case.
Anyway. Yeah. Find us. Well, follow us on Jolly. Jolly is kind of this kind of vibe.
Yeah.
We tell some stories like that. We actually made a video watching back some of our old videos from uni on Jolly. So if you want to see those,
I gotta watch that.
Yeah, check it out on Jolly. And nice to meet you all through our voices in a podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it, you guys. Please go ahead and subscribe and review and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, on wherever you get your shows. You guys can watch the videos and keep up with all the new content on Dive Studios. And this is where it gets really interesting. We're going to ask you to improvise a jingle to outro us.
A jingle?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we're just going to wrap it. But thank you so much, Jolly.
That
I'm not going to say
like
a single word.
Thing we could do.
No, it's great. I mean, you're slightly more musical than me, so I'm just going to lean heavily on your raw musical talent.
I love this. Immediately just take all responsibility.
Straight under the bus.
Okay. What do we want to do?
Well, it should have the name of the podcast.
Okay, this has been dope.
I think you are dope. No? You want to just say this has been dope? I mean, it has been.
Or
it has been. Very dope.
Hopefully we're still dope.
Wow. Sounds like the lyrics of a song waiting to happen.
Oh, man. So much pressure.
What's the melody? We should steal a melody from a famous song.
I'm so excited for this.
I don't want to do that.
Okay. Okay.
Ollie's all about
being creative.
Are you going to improv
one?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is my final hope that we're still dope.
Ooh, rhymes.
Wow.
Bars. Yeah. Bringing out bars.
This is the most creative somebody's gotten.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Okay.
This is my final hope sounds like the beginning of the Leia message to R2-D2.
Okay.
/ Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, right. We're really dragging it on.
I like it.
Okay.
This is my final hope.
That we're still dope.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then, Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now, Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.